What is going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Guys Who Think They Know Ball. I'm your host, Leland Harrelson, with my co-host, Davis Troutman. We are excited to bring you week six of the NFL. We're going to go through every game, give our predictions, a few hits on who we think are going to be the important players, and who might do well in their matchups this week. So without further ado, we head over to London. Another game in London, Trout. Broncos, the 3-2 Broncos versus the 0-5 Jets. I'm going to turn it over to you. I think this is probably pretty straightforward, but who do you got?
I think it's going to be the Broncos. The Broncos, coming off that big win against the Eagles, going over to London. You could make the argument that this could be a bit of a trap game for the Broncos, but at the end of the day, the Jets are a bad football team.
Yeah, they're not good.
So I think the Broncos make the trip over the ocean and take care of
Over the
business
pond.
over the pond. Yeah.
I saw Reese talking about last week how they just need to get one, man. Then everything's gonna look good.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you said in week one, you remember when they looked good against the Steelers, you were like, I don't know, I'm kind of buying the Jets magic here. You are just completely out.
That completely countered out what I said about being
Yeah.
right about the Dolphins.
I think it's just tough. Like we talked about in our episode this week with Barry, their defense hasn't been there where it needs to
No.
be. Like their offense is, of course, going to struggle. And that's no surprise. But it's been okay. But yeah, I mean, look, there's no way the Jets won this game.
Yeah,
Do you?
I agree.
Anybody that, what is it? Who's the tight end? The Jets tight end, Taylor.
Mason Taylor.
Yeah,
Yeah.
he's the one guy that I'm interested in watching in this game. He was a good prospect in the draft. I think
Yeah.
probably, I don't know, tight end four.
A little overshadowed just by the top end of that class,
Yeah,
but yeah.
but he's a guy that last week, y'all, he, I don't know how many catches he
He had
had.
9 for 67, I think.
Yeah, 9 for 67, really good week. Fields likes him. I mean, Fields is also a guy that definitely zones in on his favorite targets regularly. So he's somebody that they're going to look to get going.
Yeah.
I think there is a chance, if they can just not go down early, which is so much easier said than done for them. But if they don't go down early, then I think, if Breece really pops off, you get Mason Taylor involved, you get Garrett Wilson involved, they could hang in there.
Oh,
But no, if I had to, you think we got a 6.5 point spread. You think the Broncos cover?
yeah. Yeah. I was going to try to get
Technical with
interesting
it.
with it, but no, I mean, I think Denver's just that much better than the
The only
Jets.
way they could cover, I think, is they do fight to the end pretty hard.
Yeah.
So they might be able to do it, but we won't necessarily put a take on that. All right. That's not the most interesting game of the week. This is one. So we head over to the Browns Steelers. Browns are 1-4, y'all. They fought the Vikings well. The game before that, they beat the Packers. They playing a 3-1 Steelers team coming fresh off a bye. They get Jaylen Warren back in their lineup. That's pretty big for them. Kenneth Gainwell had a really good game in the game that Warren missed. At home against the Steelers, guys, there is only a 38.5 point total in this game. Steelers, like I said, 6.5 point favorites. I'm going with Steelers for sure. I just think we said it. I really do think the Steelers need to make a move for a wide receiver too. DK caught one long pass in the game before the bye, but the volume has not really been there for him. And I think that's because defenses can scheme over to him. This is a really, really good Browns defense, top three in the NFL. I mean, we've seen really good offenses struggle to put points up on these guys. So I don't know, man. We could see a game where the Browns come out, Dylan Gabriel doesn't have turnovers like he did. He didn't turn the ball over last week. Maybe he does that again. He keeps him in this game, and as the game goes longer, the Steelers aren't able to get it done.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Browns are going to win this game.
Wow.
And it really just does come down to that defense. Part of it is I have seen, I watched that full 60 minutes where they didn't allow the Packers offense to do anything. When you look at the Steelers offense, Aaron Rodgers, obviously, you know, not the most mobile quarterback at this point in his career.
No.
If the Browns can get a lot of pressure on him and get sacks, like they got seven against the Packers, then I think they could give Rodgers a really difficult time. I think this game goes under even the 38.5 points total. I mean, yeah, like I don't think the Steelers are going to be able to score on the Browns, and I think the Browns can't score against anyone. So I'm thinking like,
I mean, they could against, they put up, I think, 17 against the Vikings, which the Vikings D hasn't been as good as they have in the past.
Yeah.
So
I think this is
going
to be a 14-10 Cleveland win.
Wow.
I think Quinshon Judkins scores. He's looked really good. It'll be interesting against this still very talented Steelers front seven. We'll see if he continues. They just run him away from Watt and have success with that. But yeah, I mean, I think the Browns, just one of those classic AFC North ugly wins that the Browns get this week.
Yeah, I just think with the Steelers at home,
yeah,
one that, whole week big. To get tape on Dylan Gabriel, I have a feeling that we've been looking for this defense to step up. They haven't done it yet. I think this definitely could be the week that we see, you know, this highly paid Steelers defense. I think they're going to have Ramsey. There was some question. He had a hamstring issue. He should be active. But I think they get it done.
This also could just be me not being willing to say that the Steelers are going to start 4-1. Maybe it is.
Dude, they seem to do it. I mean,
yeah,
they did it last year, right? With Fields. I think it was 3-1 or 4-1.
They had a good start. Yeah. I think you might be right, but it's just hard to, it's a weird thing to accept that they could start out 4-1.
And that's been one of the reasons too, just to note, I mean, Tomlin gets a lot of criticism, man, from these Steelers fans. It is regular that he's criticized. They seem to have it justified, but they start hot every year. You look at like the Bengals, you look at, heck, look at the Ravens. They've tended to start slow too. You know, that's something that he doesn't allow his team to do.
Yeah.
And that's why they always make the playoffs, because they start hot. Look, the team is just not that good.
No.
So, you know, they'll make the playoffs. They'll be a wild card exit. So, yeah. I mean, anything else to add? I mean, I guess I would say I actually do. So I think that he's going to be good to go and totally healthy. I know he's off the injury report. I think that this is – and – it would seem that it's not. Nobody can really run the ball against this team. I think Jaylen Warren will get involved in the receiving game this week, and that would be a big boost. So I think that this is a game that, you know, as far as like fantasy points go, I think Jaylen Warren could have 14 this week, even though it's a tough defense to get points off of. This is an interesting one, Trout. Going over to the Chargers, Dolphins. With a 43.5 point total, Chargers being a 3.5 point favorites. The Chargers, we've said this, I'll say it again. They started off so hot. We were even saying, I mean, this still isn't necessarily out of the question. We were saying Herbert, he may have an MVP type season. They lose another key offensive lineman. He's going to miss a few weeks. Amarion Hampton hits IR last week in a really, really tough loss. To the Commanders, which is, yeah, it was, I mean, it's just, you know, you lose to the Giants, lose to the Commanders. It's not good. 3.5. I'm kind of surprised it's that low. We've gotten to watch. I mean, I got to watch the Dolphins play in person last week. They had like, they averaged like 1.5 yards on the ground per run. Things are not good in Miami. You know, they've got Waddle. They've got, you know, Waller, but there's not really a whole lot. I mean, Achane is going to get the volume, but I don't really see a way the Dolphins hang in there this week.
Yeah.
Unless I'm missing something.
I mean, they weirdly have still been in most of the games
they've
played. They have, like, Tua's, I think, decent enough to keep a team close, but not good enough to put them over the
right
the hill in most games. You know, the big thing, if you listen to our last episode, we talked about the Chargers obviously missing Slater to start the year, and now Alt. puts a lot of stress on Herbert to get the ball out quickly.
Yeah.
Puts even more emphasis on them being able to run the ball. And now with Hampton out, they're going to have one guy step up, hopefully two for them, and it's going to be Haskins or Vidal.
If you had to put a bet on that backfield, who do you think gets the majority of the carries?
You know, I think it looks like Vegas is leaning Haskins. I would say it's about as 50-50 as it gets, just riding the hot hand. I really have no idea who it's going to be. It should be the most even split that you can imagine.
It's really interesting because I got to watch, I don't know why I did, I watched a lot of their preseason. Why? Not sure. But
Wolverhampton.
Yeah, I was trying to see what Hampton's, you know, usage would be, but it, you know, Najee wasn't active anyway. Yeah. So Haskins to me was definitely the two. You know, with Najee being out, he's not bad as far as like an every down back. I mean, obviously he's not great. The thing about Vidal is he had so much hype when he came in, and then last year's, you know, they just didn't really like him. Yeah. He literally got cut this year. You know, they just elevated him for the practice squad.
Yeah.
So one interesting thing too that I think, I mean, this probably won't be anything to activate Nyheim Hines back into. I mean, he's back. I think this will be his first real NFL game since his accident.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, I'm happy for him. So, hopefully, he'll get runs. That may be a special team move.
Could also be
receiving back.
The third down back.
Yeah.
He could come in and get six receptions out of nowhere, honestly.
That's why I was trying to make that point.
Yeah.
I think that unless Haskins wins you know, he looks really good early.
Yeah.
I think that this is going to be a complete, possibly three-man committee.
Yeah. No, that's a good point on Hines. I forgot about that.
One more thing about the Chargers, Trout. When do you think, at this point, do you think they're going to get Ladd going? Or was last year a fluke? I mean, what's going on here?
I think they get him going. And we talked about it briefly, like, the need to get the ball out more quickly really, really could benefit a guy like Ladd, who mixing in some shorter intermediate routes.
Yeah.
Also Keenan Allen running, just being one of the best route runners in the NFL, being able to get open quick. I do think, this might cause a little bit less QJ. Honestly, who knows?
That dropped off last week.
It did.
I think he only had two or three catches last week. Limited. I think it was under 30 yards. So it's the first time that QJ hasn't blown up.
Right. So I do think, you know, and this is a great game for Ladd to get going, because they're going to need guys to step up and get open. And this isn't a great defense, so it's the time to do it.
Yeah. So that's definitely one to watch. I mean, that could be both of our takes, where it's like, this should be, if there was a game for Ladd to get back. I saw a stat too. Ladd started really slow. I mean, it was his rookie year.
Yeah.
QJ hadn't broken out, and they didn't have Keenan. But Ladd did start really slow through the first five games last year. So maybe this is one where he starts to get completely more involved. So we'll see. If he does break out, that will definitely be something that we talk about going into next week when we do our recap, because that's going to be, I mean, that's something that everyone's been looking for.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting game.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to the Pats, 3-2. They're coming off a really, really important divisional win in Buffalo last week against the Bills. The Saints are also coming off their first win of the season. They're 1-4. We've talked about the Saints every week. Rattler has done enough. He has looked competent enough. And I'm actually thinking back, they've been able to stay in games.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little bit, you know, they stayed in the game against the Bills. They did stay in the game against the Cardinals early on. They were able to knock off the Giants last week. Their defense really stepped up too. And, you know, as we're recording this on Saturday night, we got to see the Thursday night game where they looked really good, or the Giants did actually look good against the Eagles. Do you think this is a game that catches Drake by surprise and they are able to knock off the Pats, or this is something that the Pats are able to easily handle and they are going to move to 4-2 and look like a serious, serious team?
I think the Pats ultimately get it done. I think it will be a close game. I don't think the Pats are going to just get up big early and make it a blowout by any means. It's got a 3.5 point spread on that. I think that's pretty good. I think the Pats will probably, if I had to make a score prediction, I'd probably say 24-20.
Okay.
Rattler, at the end of the day, he's taking care of the ball. The Pats defense has been, nothing incredible. So I do think the Saints are gonna be able to move the ball a little bit. At the end of, I mean, I think Drake May keeps going. I talked about Drake May a lot at the end of last episode. I said he was a top 10 quarterback in the NFL, not just by how he started, but just how he is. That was a hot take, but
I don't think it's that out of take.
I see. I wouldn't have said it if I didn't believe it. So I agree, but this probably goes a little bit against consensus. But do I think a top 10 quarterback should beat the Saints 10 times out of 10? Yes. So I think
Do
the
you
Pats are
think
going to
that
win.
his main connection continues to be Diggs?
Honestly, yeah.
Yeah.
Him, Henry. I was excited when Kayshon Booty got, a little bit involved early in the year. I would like to see that because
Yeah.
that was looking like it could be something. It still could. So that'd be fun to be able to see him get more involved. But Diggs, what he did last week in Buffalo, you'd have to think that they keep building off of that, what, 10-146.
Yeah, it's big. I think on the Saints side, for me, a big piece, if they are going to hang in this game, I think it's going to be a Shaheed game again. He did connect on the deep ball last week. I anticipate that Gonzalez is going to shadow Olave. Everyone has kind of faded Olave. It's a rough offense. They don't really feel like. I think for some reason, his concussions last year have everyone thinking Olave is not that good of a receiver, which I don't think that's the case. I still think that he is a really, really, really talented receiver. If Gonzalez does shadow him, I think it's going to open that up. And if Rattler can get the ball deep, I think Shaheed could connect on one this week.
Yeah, I like
So,
that.
if I'm going to pick a player, to go over and maybe score, it's probably Shaheed. It's probably a bit of a long shot, but he can do that any given week for sure. He's a very, very talented deep threat receiver. Okay. Another 1 o'clock game, Rams Ravens. I do believe Trout that Tyler Huntley is going to get the start. I said that on Thursday. I know he's officially elevated. Actually, he may not be. They could be rocking with Cooper Rush. I don't think it really matters.
No.
Either way, I think the Ravens are going to struggle offensively. Everyone is wanting Derrick Henry to get it back on track. This has been a case for, especially for fantasy. We've known this since 2019. Derrick Henry is a beast when his teams are winning. He's not when they're losing, but that's how it is for any running back. Normally, if they, especially if they don't catch. I think the Rams are able to get to 4-2. With this game, I think this is something that they easily handle. The Ravens, we've talked about it. The Ravens continue to struggle on defense. On paper, this isn't a defense that should be struggling this much. I know they've had some injuries, but I don't know. I think that the Rams had to bounce back. There's no way that McVay doesn't have his boys ready to go and get upset by the Ravens.
The Rams are 6.5 point favorites. I don't see how they don't blow that out of the
Yeah, they
water. I
might
think
like
they easily cover the spread. It's a
14.
45.5 point total. The only way I see
Ravens
that,
aren't scoring 30
only
points.
way I see that hitting is if the Rams put up 31,
Yeah.
which is probably what they're expected to do. And in that case, I don't see how they don't cover. I don't want to talk too much about the betting lines, but I think the
I think
Rams
that's
take
a
care of
good way
business
to,
like
it's a good way to think through
pretty
it.
easily.
Yeah, I agree. I would say for the Rams, I think this is a game that we see Tay finally blow up. He's been very close. You've talked about it. The volume has been there. The red zone volume has been there. This could be a game for him where he finally connects. He gets like eight catches, 70 yards, and a score by against this banged up Ravens.
I think he goes for 120 this week.
120.
As long as, well, That actually requires them to keep having to throw,
which they may not have to.
Right. But all right, if we're talking first half, I bet he goes 60 in the first half.
Okay. I mean, yes, I think so too.
I think they make that a important part of their game plan.
Uko will get his. He always does, but I think that Tay really does show that he absolutely still has it. Yeah. They will make it a focus early and often. Going over to another 1 o'clock game, Cardinals Colts.
And before we get going on this, I got a notification. It's official that Jacoby Brissett will be starting for the Cardinals.
Okay. Well, I actually think the Colts line has already moved. Actually, they're 9.5 point favorites.
Yeah, I think that bumped up a tiny bit.
46.5 point total. Look, I don't see a way the Cards. I mean, excuse me. I don't see a way the Colts don't get to 5-1. That is crazy that we're saying that. But they do deserve it. It's a team like, you know, you look at their games, they deserve to be 5-1. I don't think that they're going to finish, you know, 13-4. But I do think that they deserve to be 5-1 after this week, probably. Get this. So I actually think, I think Kyler's hated on a little bit too much. I don't think that he's good. I don't think that he's that bad. We talked about it in our last episode. This is one of the worst coach teams in the NFL. You've got head coaches punching players on the sidelines. You've got them. I think that they are partially responsible too for Marvin Harrison Jr. not being able to, you know, step into his own. We saw that. Look, great examples. We saw that with Rome Odunze last year. Everyone wrote Rome off immediately.
Yep.
They're like, oh, Rome is such a bust. Look at him this year, man. He's a stud.
Yeah.
So I'm just hating more on that coaching staff. They're not doing a good job. But for Trey McBride and Marvin Harrison Jr., I do think that a guy like Jacoby should elevate their game a little bit. Now, does it elevate the Cardinals?
Probably not.
Probably not. You know, we've talked about it before. The offense continues to lack talent. I know Michael Carter had an okay game last week as far as involvements. He gets in the end zone. You definitely won't be seeing DeMercado this week. He probably won't play at all because of that fumble. I don't think that Carter keeps it up this week just because of game script. If he does, it would be through the passing game. But I do anticipate that against this poor Cards defense, I bet the Colts, they get up early. Man, they could be up. I could see at some point in the first half, they're up like 21-3.
Yeah.
And it's not a surprise.
Yeah, I mean, to the Colts credit, and just, you know, it's very easy to look at them at 4-1 and be like, they haven't played any too many great teams. They're the Colts. I don't buy it. This is a team that, I mean, if you want to be a good team or a great team, you have to take care of business against teams that you have no business losing to. And week one, they beat the Dolphins by 25. Week three, they beat the Dolphins by 21. And just last week, they beat the Raiders 40-6, a 34-point win. This is a team that's just proving every single week that they are a class or multiple classes above these teams at the bottom. And, you know, it's a problem for some teams playing down to their opponents. That's not the Colts. I think the Colts are going to come out and have another double-digit win.
The cool part about the Colts, too, is they've got a lot of guys on this team this year that really want – They've been kind of written off.
Yeah.
You know, Daniel Jones completely. This is a bit of a stretch. To an extent, though, Jonathan Taylor a little bit last year. I don't think he views it as such, but he probably sees himself as the best running back in the NFL.
And there was a time that a lot of people would have agreed.
A lot of people would have agreed.
That sentiment's kind of changed.
It has changed, you know, especially coming into the year.
Yep.
Now, if you look at it this year, he might be the best running back in the NFL again. It's going to be a long season. You know, if we'll go through, sometime we'll do rankings, everything. Like, some other guys have gotten off to slow starts. Jacobs, Saquon, you know, a lot of these guys. McCaffrey, obviously, he's probably the best. But Jonathan Taylor, I mean, he looks really good. I think he's trying to prove that. And these guys are playing, but like, they got a chip on their shoulder, man. And even when they go in against exactly like what you said, the Titans, the Dolphins, even when they're going in against this team, they're taking care of business.
Yep.
They are getting it done. So I definitely think Man, we're agreeing a lot, but I just think Colts, they take care of business this Sunday, tomorrow, and it's going to be a really, really, really good start for them.
This next one we might not agree on.
This is a very interesting one and also a very important one. So we've got the Seahawks, 3-2 up against the Jags. Everybody knows they are 4-1. They get a great win against the Chiefs in prime time last week. The money line is completely even. This is a 47.5 point total spread. Seahawks are -1.5. I'll let you take this one first, Trout. I want to hear your take, and then I'll give mine.
Yeah. I think the Jags win this game at home. This is going to be a tough game. The Seahawks offense is can put points up with any team in the NFL. The Jags have been doing a lot of the same things, and like we talked about, that defense is extremely opportunistic by having a massive lead in the NFL in takeaways. And I think the key to this game for them is getting one or two on Darnold. And obviously Darnold the last 2 years has been just a very solid, consistent,
Consistent.
dependable quarterback. But I think it's very possible they can turn him over a couple of times. And if that happens, they'll be 5-1 and probably still tied with the Colts. Like you said, this is a huge game for early kind of playoff implications.
Especially for the Seahawks.
Right, because they're in,
And for the
a
Jags,
loaded division.
divisional, right? The Colts, like we just said, they're probably going to get to 5-1.
This is just to maintain pace for both of these
Yes.
teams, with the Rams also very, very likely to go up to 4-2.
You actually said in last episode that we were talking about the Bucs and the Seahawks, and you were saying that you view them both as sneaky teams, potentially in the playoffs. But you said that the Seahawks have a much less straight path. Like the Bucs, they won the division for sure, and then they'll be in. And this is exactly that, right? Where it's this is a good football team. They've shown us so far that it is strong defense. They didn't show it that well last week. But exactly, it is a strong offense. It's a strong team overall. But if you go to 3-3, the 49ers keep it up. The Rams get to 4-2. Things in that division, man, they get really tricky really fast. So it's gonna be really important. And for that reason, I do think that the Seahawks get it done. I think that they are recognizing very early. Sam is hot. Sam is actually definitely a quarterback that we could build around. Jackson Smith and Jigba. He looks like a true, true star. You've said it before too, but we've got to stop hating on any elite Ohio State wide receiver that comes out and starts somewhat slow. They're probably going to break
It's the
out.
most automatic bet you could possibly make that they're
It
going to be a top 20 wide receiver in the NFL within 2 or 3 years.
Yes. I mean, it hasn't not happened in the past. I mean, if it's their one from that season coming out into the league, they're going to be
Honestly,
a stud.
if it's their three at some
I
point.
mean, yes, but to be a certified stud, if you are one at Ohio State, the hit rate is like 90%. So, I mean, look, did you say, do you think that the Jags actually do beat them?
Yes.
Okay. Did I? Okay. One thing I'll say for the Jags, if they do win, Brian Thomas Jr. is going to produce this week. I think that it's a game that he actually does blow up. The Seahawks are missing two starting corners. So it's their main corner, and I think it's a nickel corner, but they're missing two. Secondary is banged up. They've really done a good job spreading the ball around, but Brenton Strains, he hits IR. That's not necessarily taking a ton of targets out of the way or adding them back in, rather. But as a Jags fan, you probably would look for this to be the game that BTJ gets it back on track.
Especially with, there's going to need to be some points in this game.
Yeah, for sure. The winner is probably going to have to score. They might have to score 30.
Yeah, honestly.
I mean, maybe. That's a bit high. It might be
28.
24. Yeah, 28. Okay. Well, we'll have to disagree there. We'll see who is right. This is an interesting one. In Charlotte, Cowboys, Panthers. If Barry was saying picking, he would definitely pick the Cowboys. 48.5 point total, man.
That's high.
That is
That's really
really
high.
high. I know, you know, the Cowboys are 2.5 point favorites on the road. 48.5 seems way too high. That's also implying that the Panthers are going to continue to move the ball.
That's like a 27-24 final.
So that's going to, so Vegas is assuming that this game stays close, which would probably assume that the Panthers can run the ball this week. So I'm going to back into that by saying, starting off with a player that I think continues to do really well. I think he goes for over 100 yards this week. I think he goes for 100 and the score is Rico Dowdle. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good way to think about it, right?
Yeah,
Probably.
sure.
I think for the game, part of me, every week I've tried to maintain not get excited about the Panthers because I've watched so much and you've been forced to watch a lot.
Take them.
Yeah, I'm gonna
Yes,
go with
there you
I
go.
you just
Do
no, it's because you want to be able to on our little sheet to see that I
it.
got a red X and that
No.
you got it right. I'm gonna go with the Panthers. I have to, because if there is any hope to be left in the season, this is a must win. If they get to 3-3, you're about to see me get really delusional. I'm about to start making some takes that I didn't believe were possible a quarter through the game against the Dolphins. I thought it was completely over. But if they do get to 3-3, that's gonna be crazy. Do I think that it probably will happen? Probably not. If I had to guess, I think also another prediction for the Cowboys. I think, you know, the Panthers do have J.C. Horn. J.C. has not been shadowing wide receiver one. CD's going to miss this game. I think George Pickens, he explodes again in a shootout. I think George Pickens, it could be another one of those where he has 110 yards and two scores.
Yeah, I was gonna say the same thing about Pickens, actually, and the same thing about Dowdle.
Okay,
I
look at
think they both
us.
have big
Hey, we think
games.
we know ball, so we'll
See,
find out.
in the spirit of not agreeing too much, I am gonna pick Dallas. I was gonna pick Dallas no matter what, but
You think they're able to run the ball this week? Do
I think
you think they can do everything?
they'll be able to do pretty much whatever they want. And to be fair, they've been doing pretty much whatever they want against almost every single defense in the NFL. This is not a team that you should be embarrassed on getting. I mean, I guess you don't want to see it, but this is a really good offense. Dak Prescott's look good. I think he does just go to Pickens. And also, like we talked about, they've got a bunch of weapons that have kind of stepped up out of kind of nowhere. Ferguson is going to get his eight catches again this week. I will say Bryce Young could have, if he takes care of the ball,
He could have
Bryce
big.
Young's gonna be able to move the ball against this Cowboys defense too. So I think this could be in the perfect outcome for the Panthers. Bryce Young could have a huge game, build a ton of confidence, and they could be 3-3 and moving forward after a 30-point game, who
Yeah.
knows? But I think the Dallas Cowboys are just too kind of,
Too much firepower.
they're too hot on offense.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I think it'll probably come down. If I had to guess, I think it'll be 24-24, and the Cowboys have the ball, final drive. This is an exact prediction, all right? There's one that we're going to post. 24-24, final drive. Cowboys go down. Panthers get a pick on Dak. They go down. They score a field goal, and we win.
I thought you were saying that it's going to be a 24-24 tie.
No. No,
But
we're
we
not
could do it
tying.
again.
No.
Yeah, if I
We
had
have
to
to.
tie to the Cowboys, so do you.
Yeah, that would suck for the Cowboys. But also, you know, last note for the Cowboys, it's another one. We're already getting there. This is a really important win. They're going to prove that they're going to be a playoff team. They got to take care of business here against the Panthers, even though it's on the road. So a big test for them. And revenge game for Rico. Oh man, this game is ugly.
Yeah, it sucks.
Titans, Raiders, both these teams are 1-4, two of the worst teams in the NFL. Raiders are 3.5 point favorites, 41.5 point total. I'm going to pick the Raiders. Not because I think Geno gets back on track. I think that Geno is toast. But I think this is a game. Titans have a solid enough run defense, but I think Genty, this is a game that he actually blows up. I think he goes, you know, I think he has 130 total yards, definitely a score.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be the Raiders too. I will say Geno throws a couple picks. Cam Ward's able to kind of take care of the ball and move the ball down the field. The Titans very well could win this game. For me, I'm looking at as kind of an X factor in this one. Max Crosby started out the year pretty slow. I think he takes advantage of facing off against a rookie quarterback who likes to kind of do some things off script and make things happen. I don't think that's going to fly against an edge rusher like Crosby. I think he has a sack or two tonight and or tomorrow.
Last time we called out Crosby to have a good game, he played against the Bears and Caleb Williams, and when he did have a very impactful game. Against Caleb, a young quarterback, really threw him off. I agree with you. I think he'll be a guy that he makes. It may not necessarily get all the sacks, but Ward is going to hear him coming.
Right. Even if it's not, even if he doesn't get a single sack, he's going to be putting some serious heat on Cam Ward.
I agree. The Titans are going to have any chance. I will say this again. Calvin Ridley has to.
Yep.
One, he has to catch the ball. He has to be focused. He has to be the receiver that we know he can be. He's not a guy that it is too early for him to be falling off and not producing for this young quarterback. So Ridley, if they're going to have any success, he's got to do it.
He's got to do what he did last week.
Yep. He doesn't have to score, but he's got to connect in these deep balls. And he needs to be putting up, I mean, Ridley needs to be putting up 80 yards. They're normally going to be down. But definitely, I mean, you agree with that with Ashton Jeanty. You think that he is able to showcase that he is a truly talented back this week?
Yeah, and I think he's been doing that the past couple of weeks, and it's going to continue, if not build upon that this week. This is a great opportunity for that. He also could get more involved in the passing game.
Yep.
He has done that a little bit more recently, too. And I think this is one of those games that will be kind of the first game you look at in Jeanty's career, honestly,
that he took over.
That he just took over a game. You know, you have games like that with Bijan the past couple of years where he was a massive prospect and it didn't immediately, I mean, he was good from the get-go, but there wasn't that massive breakout game. He could go for 150 this week.
Yeah, it's so interesting because like Ryan Clark was criticizing Jeanty early on. Everyone was saying, I mean, I've said this on the pod before, but you know, Jeanty doesn't have that it factor. He doesn't have that explosiveness. The craziest thing about him is when he breaks off a run, man, he just doesn't go down. I think that when we would watch him at Boise State, that was the same thing where it was like, how is he just going the whole field? You know, he has really good vision for sure. He obviously has a great low center of gravity.
Yeah, his balance is insane.
His balance, man. He kind of just bounces off guys. He's able to get his legs in the right spot. People just can't bring him down. So this could be one too that he breaks off it, like a really big one. So I'm excited to watch him grow. He took a lot of heat to start the year.
Yeah.
This is going to be an important game. 425. Niners, Bucks. The Bucks are 3.5 point favorites, 47.5 point total. This game is going to shoot out. I'll tell you that right now. I don't know if it goes over 47.5, but I do think, you know, that's a really good high line for this game. The Niners are going to be forced to start Mac Jones again. He actually is questionable,
yep.
Trout. You know, everybody who watched the game against the Rams, you know, 10 days ago, Mac is dealing with a PCL sprain. It seems to be like it's a lot more pain than, I mean, I don't know. He looked pretty banged up. He looked like he was really suffering. Maybe that's because Mac is not that tough. He has looked really good, though. They will also be without Ricky Pearsall again. Jawan Jennings is questionable. He probably should suit up. They also did not activate Kittle this week. So it's another week where it is McCaffrey, it is Kendrick Bourne, it is Jake Tungus, it is maybe Jawan, it is...
The last week, it was literally those three guys.
Yeah.
So
if, you know, if the Niners are going to win, Christian McCaffrey is going to have 25, 30 touches. He's going to have 8 receptions. And he will carry them to a dub. Over on the Bucks, though, too, they are super
the same
banged
story.
Up. Yes, yeah. It's crazy. Chris Godwin, guys, he re-aggravated his tibia injury. It's apparently not the exact same. I don't know if you read into it. It's not the exact same spot where he, like, broke his ankle last year. So that's good, but I'm sure it's related. So he's officially week to week. I think he's a guy to watch. I'm really hoping for Chris Godwin, awesome receiver. I really like the guy. I hope that that's not something that is going to continue to linger, but it's that does not sound good. So they're going to be without Mike Evans as well. They'll also be without Bucky Irving. So it is again probably going to be Rashad White and Igbuka. You know, the Bucks, I will say, Baker elevates just a lot of other players like Sterling Shepard. Kate Otten finally has gotten involved. But this is definitely the two most injured teams in the league.
Who do you think?
So here's what I'm gonna do, because you like to disagree with me. I'm going to go with the Bucks on this one because I just know that you want to hype up Mac Jones. I'm just reading into that. So I'm going with the Bucks just because I said it last week. Baker, he just continues to surprise. He's a really, really good quarterback. He gets it done with limited people. Rashad White, he stepped up really well also. And Emeka Ibuka, he's looking like a complete stud. So I think the Bucks get it done.
Were you going to say the Bucks no matter what?
Dude,
Because
I
I'm
just
going with the
can't.
Bucks.
Okay, you're going to be the Bucks. I
Yeah.
just can't bet on Mac Jones
No,
again.
I can't, and also can't bet against Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, it's tough.
The Bucks at home. I'm with you. I love that these quarterbacks are kind of coming out of nowhere and playing so well. Like Mac Jones has been awesome. But yeah, I mean
Well, he also, I think the thing about Mac is he's definitely able to manage games completely. He, which is so funny because we just didn't see that in New England. Then he looked good last year. Then he only signs a 2 for 7 with the Niners. But I think the thing too, Trout, that injury, if he is actually that hurt and that flares up in the first quarter,
Then they're toast.
so that's why I would just go ahead and give the edge to the Bucks.
It's one thing, Mac Jones done an incredible job. It's one thing to do what he's done against these other teams. I think it's a different team, different thing to have to go head to head with Baker Mayfield and the Bucks offense and just go punch for punch with them and stay in that game. Obviously the Niners are a good, team top to bottom all around, but
Yeah, their defense really stepped up last week,
yeah.
though.
I just can't bet against Baker when he's facing Mac
Well,
Jones.
we will agree. Let's see if we disagree on this next one. Bengals, Packers. The Bengals will be starting a new quarterback, Joe Flacco. I think that there's a chance that Joe gets seriously hurt this week, man, against this Packers defense. But he also has a chance to surprise everybody and beat the Packers on the twice in one season on a different team, literally within inside of what, 3 weeks,
Within a month, yeah.
within a month. That'd be pretty,
That'd
from
be
my perspective,
so
that'd be pretty
cool,
cool.
yeah.
You would hate
Yeah,
that. Yeah, that would be tough. I mean, that being said, you're 13.5 point favorites.
Flacco does do that this week, he would be doing it as a +800 underdog.
Man, you don't see that often.
You don't see that in the NFL. Listen, I don't. It was one thing for Joe Flacco to beat the Packers with the Browns. He had a defense that held us to 10. He does not have a defense that should be holding the Packers to anything under 24 this
I
week.
agree.
And at the end of the day, does this elevate the Bengals offense? Obviously, Flacco now has Jamari, now has T.
Jamar's sick, by the way.
Really?
He's expected
I
to
mean, he'll
play,
play, but
but
that's
apparently
definitely
was pretty
notable.
sick, got pretty sick on Thursday night. They didn't know if he was going to be able to go. So I don't know what he has, but it is pretty serious.
Yeah.
So is there a Jamar Chase flu game since the Packers to 500?
If Flacco somehow has time in the pocket,
Yeah, he won't, though.
the Packers secondary is the weakest part of its team, probably. So Jamar, with given time, should actually torch us, but I don't think he'll have time. I did say the other day that the Bengals were upgrading from the worst quarterback in EPA per dropback to the second worst. I think they are getting more of a bump than that because you look at the worst quarterback in the NFL playing with those receivers versus the worst playing with Jerry Jeudy and Isaiah Bond. Obviously, this is a better quarterback than they had before. But I mean, yeah, it's elder abuse in this game.
I think you're probably right. Let me ask you this. I'll say for the Packers first, and then I'll have to come remind me to come back to the Bengals. Josh Jacobs.
I was, yeah.
You go ahead. You talk Jacobs then.
The Packers' run game has been really slow getting started this season. It starts at the O-line. This has not been a good run-blocking O-line, and the past couple weeks has not been a good pass-blocking O-line, honestly, either. But it's been, you know, everyone saw what Josh Jacobs did and added to this offense when he joined in Green Bay last year, and it's been a slow start. That being said, the Bengals are one of the worst run defenses in the NFL.
Just defenses in general.
Yeah, top to bottom. But they give up, I think, the 24th or 25th most run rushing yards in the NFL. Part of that is they're playing from behind and all of that, although they are 2-3. So
it's because they won their first two games.
I mean, yeah. But Josh Jacobs, if there is a time for him to just
– He will.
Go off. He'll get 20, 25 touches.
It is
this
a
week.
Certified guarantee from Leland and Davis here, at guys who think they know ball. I guarantee you, Josh Jacobs goes off this week against the Bengals.
100 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Yeah. I think he goes over 100.
Parlay it.
Yeah. It's not financial advice, but I definitely think that he does it for sure. For the Bengals, the biggest thing for me to watch is, can Flacco, we saw Jamar blow up last week,
yeah,
even with that bum Browning. They need to get T. Higgins back involved.
Yeah.
They paid the man. They extended him.
He's on my dynasty team.
He's on your dynasty team. He's on your fantasy team.
Oh, yeah. He's on my bench.
Yeah, he's on your redraft team. I mean, you have a lot of shares of T. Higgins, man. You want to see him get going. I think Flacco, you know, them losing, this could be a game where they probably will lose. It's also Flacco's first game. The connections are not there. But you want to see them be able to air the ball out.
Yeah.
I still don't think they'll be able to run. I also, again, look, I don't know if I said this on the pod. I don't think Chase Brown is a good running back.
You said it.
Okay. Well, I'll say it again. I might say it every week. I can't stand this guy. Exact comp is Rashad White. He's a good receiving back. He is not a good running back. I had a few arguments with people about that, so I'm pretty passionate about it. Whoa, okay, all right. On to prime time, 8:20. I'm having that reaction because I'm seeing that the Chiefs are favored in this game by 2.5. Chiefs-Lions. The Lions look to get to 5-1. The Chiefs, really important game for them. They don't want to fall to 2-4. They are 2-3 right now. They've had a really, really tough schedule to start. Huge total here, 52.5. Trapped. Man, I don't know if you want to take the Lions, but I'm interested to hear your take on this.
I've been actually back and forth on this almost all week. You know, on one hand, the Lions look like a much better team than the Chiefs right now.
Yeah.
That offense is back, has been back since week one.
Yeah.
At the level that we expect from the Lions, and the Chiefs have not been playing at the level we expect or anywhere near what we think of the Chiefs. That being said, the Chiefs are at home. They're playing with the sense of urgency of not dropping to 2-4. Patrick Mahomes is going to have a game on primetime on Sunday night. He's not going to let his team drop to 2-4. I think it's going to be a very high scoring. It's going to be a one possession game. It could end up with a Patrick Mahomes game-winning drive. If it gets to that point, then Mahomes is not
–
he's not going to not score a touchdown.
Yeah.
So I think the Chiefs pull out a win that they really need.
Yeah. Man, this is tough. I was having that reaction because I didn't think the Chiefs would be favored.
I was surprised.
For some reason. So for that reason, I mean – if my gut is telling me that, I'm going to have to go with the Lions, even though they're on the road. If there's any coach out there that's going to get their boys prepared, disciplined, ready to go, Stan Campbell.
It doesn't take much to get ready to play for the Chiefs. Like, they're going to get hyped up regardless.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, just to be able to come in there. I know that you, divisional, you got to respect the Lions, though, because they just – they're also another team that they seem to step up to the occasion. The big games, the easy teams, they do seem to step up. I know they got their one loss. They got smashed by the Packers. I think that they've responded so well to that loss. probably a real blessing for them that they had that. The one note for the Lions, though, they haven't. I just think that they've, you know, Amon-Ra has been such a huge, huge focus in the offense, which obviously he's going to be.
Yeah.
Jameson Williams has been really bad.
Pretty quiet.
Tess Law, he's done, I don't know, it's kind of a lot of hype. He hasn't really produced if you watch the games. I mean, he's had a few catches, but yeah. Laporta kind of, we saw flashes of rookie Laporta last week. If they're going to win the game, though, Jameson Williams is going to have to be involved. Either that or, like, you know, obviously Amon-Ra does what he does. Gibbs could also just take over a game. But I just think that they're going to need to see. They paid J-Mo. He has to get going. I mean, he got paid, Trout. I think it's like a three-year, $82 million deal he got before week one.
Yeah, it was the year Lee started with the two. Yeah, it was in the 20s.
All right, well, he needs to – he's got to play better.
Yeah.
So that being said, I mean, look, I'm going to pick the Lions. I wouldn't be surprised if the Chiefs win. I think all the points that you're making – Mahomes, Arrowhead, prime time, can't go to 2-4.
Yeah, not really your X's and O's analysis, just Mahomes.
Well,
is Mahomes.
The good news is for the Chiefs, if they do drop one, they get Rashi back next week.
Yep.
So that's going to be a huge lift to this offense. Let's see if, I mean, they looked good against the Jags.
Yep.
If Chris Jones decides to play the whole game, then maybe though, I don't know if you saw that. Did you see him on Trevor Lawrence's play that he fell down?
Oh, yeah.
And Chris Jones just, like, quit.
Yep.
And then he said, I don't know if you saw his interview. He was like, yeah, we got some guys. Who, like, they got to be finishing plays. Like, literally said that. And all the reporters were like,
you're talking about you, right?
Yeah, you better be talking about yourself, man. You should take that on yourself. That's going to be a fun one. That's going to be the best game of the week. I'm glad that it's on Sunday night. Monday, Trout, you got a doubleheader. I hate these things. I would rather be able to watch one game. The good news is it's not a 10 o'clock game. So we've got a 7:15 and 8:15. The 7:15, we've got the Bills Falcons. Falcons are looking to avoid falling below 500. This is a really high total, 49.5. The Bills are 4.5 point favorites on the road. Bills all day. All day.
What surprised me is the Bills are only 4.5 point favorites.
That is a little crazy. Maybe it's because, I mean, look, the Bills.
Bills' defense has been vulnerable.
Yeah, the Saints were able to keep it close on them. They dropped one to the Pats.
Does that mean I think Penix is going to be able to hang a bunch of points on them? No. I think, you know, the Bills lost probably what could have been a little bit of a wake-up call for them, losing to Drake May and the Pats. They're going to come out and kill the Falcons this week. It's on prime time as well. I can't
I think that too.
I cannot believe they're 4.5 point favorites. I think Josh Allen goes nuts.
Yeah, probably.
They win by 17.
It's not a super strong Falcons defense either.
No.
And it's not a strong Bills defense, but Michael Penix, he put up zero against the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's in the range of, it's literally like already in the range of outcomes that he plays bad. And if he does, they lose this game by 35. Now, if he plays lights out, and also they're not going to have Mooney.
Yeah.
So Mooney's out. He's going to miss more time. Man, he can't stay healthy right now. That's a huge loss for them, actually. Mm-hmm. So it's Drake London. It's old Kyle Pitts. It's Bijan Robinson. And it's, can Michael Penix not mess up enough to keep us in the game? I'm going with you, man. The answer is definitely no.
No chance.
So another primetime elite player, you could see Bijan keep them in the game single-handedly. But I'm with you, man. Josh Allen, this is one of those where he hasn't really taken over games completely yet, all on his own. I mean, obviously, he always is the reason that they're so good. But I'm with you, dude. He could just go absolutely nuclear and just get it done on the ground, through the air, everything.
This is kind of off topic, but I was talking to one of our listeners and friends this past week, and we were talking about, this was before last game where Downs really hadn't gotten involved. I said it would be kind of cool to see, or I thought it would be a good fit to see Downs in Atlanta.
Oh, really?
Actually, it's kind of funny because We also said the Bills. It's not going to happen, but it just made me think of that. We said the Bills and the Falcons were two teams that we'd like to see downs.
Well, the Colts should get him involved, or they should trade him.
Yeah. I don't want to spend too much time on that, but Bills, Falcons, those are the two teams, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, look at you. Maybe it'll happen.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Nobody really
trades. Actually, no chance. 0% chance, yeah. But yeah.
All right. We're on the same page there. This one. Last game of the week, guys. We have the Bears, Commanders. Darn it. Bears, Commanders. The Commanders are 4.5-point favorites. Jane Daniels is getting healthier and healthier. Another rejected shootout, dude. Another 49.5-point total.
Some high fantasy scores this week.
Yeah, probably if you have players in this game. Debo, he's been banged up on the Commanders. He's continuing to struggle with a heel issue that didn't hold him back last week.
No.
He looked really good. Terry McLaurin, he's going to miss some more time. I've got a buddy, a listener. I don't know if he's going to listen to this episode or not, but he is still very much convinced Terry McLaurin is going to come back and tear it up. I don't know, man. That quad is really, really, really messed up. So, look, I think I'm going to have to go with no, actually, you know what? I'm going to go with the Bears. Bears are 4.5. You're just going to tear me up here. Bears are 4.5-point dogs. I'm going to go with the Bears to close this one out. Here's why. Coming off the bye, Ben Johnson is going to have his team right. I think they get Colson Loveland back in the lineup this week. I would look. That's not necessarily like he has had literally zero impact so far this year. I think he's a guy that you start to realize why he should have been taken in the first round, let alone like where was he, like a 10 or 12, whatever. A lot of people are questioning that pick. I think he's going to get more involved. I think Roma Dunze torches these Commanders. And I think Caleb Williams will start to settle in a little bit. If Caleb can limit his turnovers, if he doesn't just – and if he can have an accurate game, Caleb has the ability to get it done with his feet. If he's able to hone in on these passes, man, I think that he can keep them in. Commanders, the reason I just don't – I mean, the Bears' defense is bad. Anybody – people have been able to run the football down these guys' throats. JCM, he might go off. I'm hoping not. I'm playing him this week in fantasy. But I see Jaden's knee bothering him just a little bit this week. He isn't as mobile, and I think that Caleb's able to carry them to the dub.
Yeah, I'm going to have to firmly disagree with you on that one.
Okay.
I'm going to look in the camera when I give you my reasons because this is going to get clipped, all right? This game, we're on Monday night, Bears Commanders. You cannot possibly tell me that we have now entered into – the season of Bill Mania. JCM has arrived. We heard about it all preseason. All leading up. First few weeks, he had flashes. Last week, he arrived. And this week,
he takes over.
He leads the NFL in rushing in week 6. He takes over. Jaden Daniels has been getting a little disrespect, I feel like, in his class of quarterbacks, you know. You got guys like me saying that Drake May is above him now. You had guys saying that under Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams was going to pass Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels gets hurt. People forget about him. Jaden Daniels has to remind everyone.
Actually, you are right.
Jaden Daniels reminds everyone that he is the second best quarterback in that class because Drake May is still to go. But it's not Caleb Williams. And Jaden proves that.
Okay. I mean, that's going to be interesting. Okay. Let me ask you this though, to wrap this up. You don't see Caleb being able to take that step right after the bye?
Well, I also do think Caleb Williams is going to have a pretty good game.
Okay.
I think it will be
close.
Is
it for the Bears, for you, is it this defense has just been really bad, or is it that the Commanders are actually that good?
I think the Commanders are just the better football team. Okay. I think the Bears defense is going to have some problems with Washington, just with the mobility, speed, everything they have on that offense, the weapons. Debo could, you know, there's just a lot of unique challenges that offense provides between him and Jaden. But yeah, I think the Commanders are the better team.
Okay.
And they're at home, which is big.
That is big. Monday night at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, that's another one that's going to be really important, especially for the division. The Commanders, they don't want to fall 3-3, especially if the Cowboys get a dub. If they could win, they're going to be tied for first. All right. Well, we'll have all our picks out to you guys in our graphic. But thanks for being here. This is a lot of fun.
Don't hold your breath on the graphic. There, I made one in week three. They're kind of tough to make. We'll see if I get it out. But you can listen through and write down our picks
Yeah,
at
and
the
then
worst.
you guys can pick them and you guys can see. But hey, we appreciate you guys being here. It's been another episode of Guys. They think they know. I think they know ball. Peace.
See you.